Let's do verse 3.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Lokesmin Vividhanishta.
Pura Prokta Mayanaka.
Jnana
Yogena Sankhyanam.
Karma-yogena yoginam.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Loke asmin dvividha nishtha pura prokta maya anagha. Jnana-yogena sankhyanam karma-yogena yoginam. So Bhagavan answering Arjuna's request. Remember, Arjuna found himself confused. Why would Bhagavan ask him to do karma when what he wants is knowledge? And the two seem so opposed to each other. And so he says to Krishna, you know, the words that you're saying, it's as though they're deluding me, they're confusing me. And then he says, could you please just tell me which one of the two, decisively, nischitya, so that I can understand with clarity, decisively, that one by which I can gain potential, I can gain shreyas, moksha. And so Bhagavan says, I referred to this a little bit in the last class, loke asmin, in this world, dvividha nishtha. There's a twofold nishtha. Nishtha is that commitment. It's a commitment to two committed lifestyles. Dvividha means two, twofold. There are two nishthas. Pura, formerly, prokta, were told by being. Nishtha is feminine. So nishtha, pura, prokta, formerly were told by me. A anaka. Anaka means the one who's free of papa, free of sin. So, by me means not Krishna, by me as the Lord. When this creation comes into being with the whole Vedic, with the Vedas are viewed as traditionally as coming along with the creation, and really the knowledge that accompanies the creation, they come out of the creation kind of like Ishwara's breath, are the type of analogies that are used. And so, along with the Vedas, what came along with the culture, the Vedic culture, is this understanding that there is this twofold nishtha. There are two committed lifestyles for somebody who is a mumukshu who wants to gain knowledge. So he says, he names them jnana yogena sankhyanam. For the sankhyas means for the sannyasis who are sannyasis seeking, the sannyasis who are seeking to gain knowledge, mumukshus who are seeking to gain atmajnanam. So for the sannyasis, there's jnana yoga. The yoga is the lifestyle or the path. Here, yoga is what they are committed to. So for the sankhyas, there's a commitment to jnanam, to gaining knowledge, self-knowledge. For the yogis, the ones who are committed to are still doing karma, they're not ready to give up everything, so they're still karmis. They still have kartritvam, that kartritvam buddhi. So for the yogi noms, the karma yogis, there is that commitment to karma, means karma yoga. So with that verse, there's a few things that Swamiji went into that's kind of nice to understand. First of all, what is meant in India by sannyasa? Sannyasa is a lifestyle, and there are different reasons, three major reasons for taking sannyasa. And sannyasa means renunciation. If anybody, they're orange, they're wearing the ochre robes, that is a sannyasi. If you're wearing ochre robes and you're not a sannyasi, you shouldn't be doing that. Only if you're a sannyasi do you get to wear the orange. Okay, so we wear orange and things, but we're not in India. So anyway, the two major types of sannyasa. One is called vidvat sannyasa. The vidvat means for one who knows. Renunciation, taking those vows of renunciation, because I now have knowledge. So for me, for a vidvat sannyasi, I am a sattva karma sannyasi. Means I have knowledge. I already know that the atma, that myself, that who I am, is free of all karma. So that sattva karma sannyasa, jnanam, that knowledge is there for the vidvat sannyasi. So for the vidvat sannyasi, their guru, when they acknowledge, really the maturity of that student by giving that sannyasa. They acknowledge that you are a jnani, that I accept you, I know, I understand you have that jnana-nishta. They'll be given vidvat sannyasa. Another type of sannyasa is what we call vividisha sannyasa, the one who has a desire to know, just like jignyasa, vividisha, mumuksha. That's a noun. It's a feminine noun, actually, and it means it's a desiderative. So here, vividisha means the one who has a desire to know. So the vividisha person takes that sannyasa when they, and the guru will give it to them in the best of all worlds. When that karma yoga buddhi is mature, means that prasada buddhi is mature, that there is there is very little raga dvesha left. In that case, a person can, if they're be given vividisha sannyasa, they're in a situation, their mind is such that it is perfect for me to just sit and study and teach. I don't have a pravritti really for anything else. And so there's nothing to, I don't need a field of experiences to neutralize my raga dveshas. I don't need to be out in the world, out in my world, out in my prarabdha karma, so to speak. You know, the world that I'm wanting to leave, I don't have to stay in that world. In order to be able to do things, to go places, to kind of exhaust the pressure in my mind, that is no longer necessary. And so a person who has that type of a buddhi, one that has primarily a shanti, enjoy shanti, that person is well qualified to take sannyasa, and just so that they can be in kind of a protected environment. Well, all they have to do is study, right? They are no longer have any responsibility to do anything else. That's another thing. When a person takes sannyasa, the sannyasa is a ritual that's being taken, which ritual resolves you of all of the other rituals that you're bound to do as a Hindu. Depending on what stage of life you are in, there are certain rituals that are enjoined on you on a daily basis. For a brahmachari, there's a couple, the Gayatri Mantra, I forget all the names of the, not the, there's particular names. Anybody remember those names? I know what then, I'll tell you later. Anyway, there's several rituals that for brahmachari and prayers that you do. Sandhya Vandanam is one. You do like one, the Gayatri Mantra, you do at dusk, you do at noon, and you do at dawn, you do it at noon, and you do it at dusk, whenever there's a changing of the sun in reference to the earth. So three times a day, you're enjoined to do that. It's another one also. If you're a householder, you have to do the Agnihotra ritual. It's a rich fire ritual that you're supposed to be enjoined to do every day. And then there's the Naimittika karmas, things that you have to do on occasion. That's your duty. You also have duties to your family, duties to your parents, just the regular householder duties that are enjoined upon you if you're a grihastha. So until you take sannyasa, depending on what stage of life you're in, you have certain obligations and certain rituals that have to be performed. But when you take sannyasa, that ritual absolves you of all of the other rituals and all of the other duties, so that at that point you are no longer even supposed to chant the Agnihotra. or do that particular ritual. You're not supposed to do that. All of the rituals, in fact, are replaced by Om. In fact, they say only a sannyasi should really chant Om by itself. Because that Om, that particular, if I'm just chanting Om by itself, it brings the sannyasa vritti, tends to bring the sannyasa vritti. And so unless you're a sannyasi, you don't particularly want to have that sannyasa vritti. You want to be relational, you have to work, you have to be with your family, you have all kinds of things to do. The sannyasa vritti just, it makes me just want to be with myself. Okay? So when you're ready to just that, chant Om, you should take sannyasa, just chant Om then. Chant Om along with another mantra. That's what Swamiji has always told us, because it's that's just the tradition. So this vividisha sannyasa, I already have to be ready for that, and normally I have become ready for normally I've become ready for that through karma yoga, right? And then I'm mature enough to live that lifestyle. The third one is called apat sannyasa. Apat means if there's like you're in danger, or if you're there's a calamity, or there's misfortune, or you're about ready to die, you're ill and you're going to be dying. So there's a serious situation there that can cost you your life. And so in that situation, a Hindu may choose to take sannyasa, because that ritual also resolves them of any papa karmas. And it's almost as though, it's viewed as though it's the beginning of a new life. It's you take a new name. You've kind of wiped out all of the karmas. You know, all of your punya and papa, these karmas are the clear slate. And so you can, if you're going to die shortly, you know, they feel that's a smart thing to do. And so they do that. And if they end up living for some time and not dying, then they will get that sannyasa ratified by a sannyasi. But otherwise, they're allowed to take that apat sannyasa by themselves. You know, so that's the thing in an emergency. There's even a story about Shankara. When he was a young boy, all he wanted to do was to take sannyasa and go be with the sadhus and study. He was 7, 8, he was very young. So his mother refused him. He would ask his mother many times. She said, no, he's too young, you have to stay home. You have to, you know. And he was always talking to her about this, you know, as the story goes. So one day they were down at the river, she was doing her wash and everything. So they were at the river, and he was just playing and wading in the river, and he got his leg got snatched by a crocodile. And so the crocodile grabbed onto his leg and dragged him into the middle of the river. And so it looked like it would take him away. And so he called out to his mother, "Mother, you know, let me take the sannyasa now. Let me take the sannyasa now, because I may not live to come back." And Tathastu, she let him take the sannyasa. So he said to he announced to the gods, you know, there's some certain mantras and things that he knew, and for sannyasa, he took apat sannyasa, right? And as soon as he took the apat sannyasa, the crocodile opened his mouth and went away. And so he made it back to shore, and his mother said, realizing what had happened, she said, "Okay, now you can please give up that sannyasa. It wasn't necessary for you to, wasn't really necessary for you to take that." And he goes, "No, mother, once taken, I can never give it up." So that's how he was able to take sannyasa at a young age. Once you take sannyasa, once you do those vows, you're a sannyasi. There's no giving it up. You can pretend like you didn't take the vows, but you're still a sannyasi. You can wear regular clothes and all that, but you did the ritual. You took the vows. And so those vows are as sacred and as real as the other enjoined rituals. So that vow's been done. It's over. So Shankara went on his own way. So, in any case, that's the sannyasa. for a jnani, I mean for a mumukshu, it looks appealing to take sannyasa so that I can just live at the ashram and study. But some of us have done that. And it's not quite what you think. You know? What happens, because I've actually been to many courses, usually working there for Swamiji as the manager or teaching or whatever it is. Several of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, you know. And Swamiji said, because Swamiji's done what? He must have done 15 or so. He's done many, many courses. But he said, even after a few, he said, the honeymoon lasts for 6 months. And after 6 months, you know, because you feel like you're in heaven, you know, you're in heaven because you're a mumukshu, and all you want really is to gain this knowledge, and that's all you really have to do. You have to just to come to class, and you have to study, and you have to eat, and you have a little bit of seva to do, you know. But that's basically it. Everything is taken care of, and so in that way, it's the most wonderful thing. But then all of these kashayas start coming up. Kashayas means those things that are held inside, those raga dveshas. They can only remain repressed for so long. You know, it's the same problem. A person is so excited, they've taken sannyasa, they run to the forest, they're so happy for a limited amount of time, you know, because of the newness of it, the thrill of it, the wonder of it. So for a limited amount of time, it's just the greatest thing, you're so happy. But then there's your mind. Yeah, there is your mind. There is the unconscious. There are your raga dveshas. There are the natural rubs with other people. And so say, like, for instance, when we get to go to a 3-year course, which is an amazing experience. But after 6 months, the newness is off, and then you are living there. You are living there with maybe 40 or 50 people or 60 people, even when I was there, in a contained space, in a relatively small space, and you're living there with them 24 hours a day. It's not like here, you know, I mean, usually this is kind of the beautiful thing about having your own home and having a job and all. You have your home, you go to work, you socialize with your people, you know, your co-workers, and, you know, you have go out for lunch with them and whatnot, and then you have your disagreements and all that, but you get to come home, you know. And so you're home, then you're just kind of with your friends and your family, and you can totally relax. You leave that completely behind until the next day. Now you're home. And so that can have its own problems, but then, of course, you get to leave again, right? It's not all 24/7 where the people that you work with or the people that you live with or the people that you study with that live right next door to you in the little cubicles. And so it is what we often call a pressure cooker. It is a 3-year pressure cooker, which only if you still have a few little raga dveshas left. It's a pressure cooker. In a way, everybody that I know is kind of grateful for that, because it really puts you through the changes you really have to go through pretty quickly. You know, it's like a city, just a regular city, but in a very small place with a lot of people, maybe none of them who you would really choose to hang out with. The only thing often that you have in common, except for maybe one or two people, is that you're mumukshus and you have the same guru, you know? So all different kinds of people are there, you know? It's a really very, very interesting. And so, say you take sannyasa, and here, I think the pressure cooker of an ashram is a really good example, because you're putting yourself permanently, in terms of sannyasa, into a lifestyle where there's no relief. At least in India, there's no relief, because you're wearing the orange and things are expected of you. in terms of your behavior and what you're allowed to do. And so that can be wonderful for you, or it can be really, really hard because you're wanting, you're getting agitated because you want to do other things. Your mind wants to do other things. You want to go out. You want to get away. And so then you'll start sleeping a lot, as I said. You know, so this two lifestyles have to be understood really with some amount of objectivity and with a sense of reality, because we usually, it's so often that we want to go do the thing that we think will get me there faster. That's actually exactly what Arjuna wanted. Let me go for it and do what will get me there faster. Krishna continually says, Karma Yoga will get you there faster, not sannyasa. Because your mind isn't ready for sannyasa. And since your mind isn't ready for sannyasa, you're going to be jumping the gun. So because this is the situation, you know, there are two different types of people, and I myself am two different types of people. First, I'm a person who's qualified for Karma Yoga, and then I'm a person who's qualified for sannyasa. Or somebody, you may be qualified for Karma Yoga, this other person has gone through that, they're qualified for sannyasa. And so because of that, these two different nishtas are there for the mumukshu. And the Karma Yoga, following the Karma Yoga and that prasada buddhi, is really what allows a person to gain that neutralization of your raga dveshas. That is what it's for. It gives you a chance for you, gives your mind a chance to just live the life of a dharmi, somebody who has dharma, you know, and somebody for whom dharma is first, for whom Ishvara is first. It's no longer about my fulfilling my likes and dislikes, because I'm a mumukshu and I'm gaining knowledge. I'm actually a mumukshu becomes a jignyasu. I'm somebody who desires to have knowledge, and I've already recognized and understand that I am the source of the ananda. You have to give your mind a chance to catch up. You know, you have to give the unconscious a chance to catch up. You have to give the manas, all of your habitual behavior, a chance to catch up. And staying in the world is the best for that. So he's reminding Arjuna now of these two nishtas, and now he's going to go and explain them a little bit more. Let's do the next verse. So now he's going to be explaining these two.
Nakarma nam
anarambhat.
Naishkarmyam
purusho shnute.
Nacha
sannyasana deva.
Siddhim samadhi gacchati.
Siddhim samadhi gacchati. Na karmanam anarambhat. Naishkarmyam purushaha ashnute. Nacha sannyasat eva. Siddhim samadhi gacchati. So Krishna says, having said, now remember, this is the other thing that is confusing. There are two nishtas, means two lifestyles. You can remain as a karma yogi studying this knowledge, or you can take the lifestyle of sannyasa where you're wearing the orange to gain this knowledge. But sannyasa is going to take place, jnana sannyasa, will take place for the karma yogi or for the sannyasi. That is sattva karma sannyasa. That sattva karma, that sannyasa which is that the renunciation of all karma, that really is sannyasa, the one who renounces all karma. But that sattva karma sannyasa can only take place through knowledge, not through a lifestyle. Both lifestyles, you're for all kinds of, there's all kinds of activity going on, even blinking. You know, so you cannot gain knowledge through either lifestyle, right? Through either lifestyle is helpful, for gaining antakarana shuddhi and then putting yourself in a position where you're available to gain knowledge. So the karma yogi lifestyle really is to neutralize your likes and dislikes, gain that prasada buddhi. When that prasada buddhi is gained to a strong degree, you can take the sannyasa lifestyle where you can give up all of these other karmas that are enjoined on you so that you have more time. You know, you have more time to just be with this teaching and all of your other responsibilities you're relieved from. Even the responsibilities of having a mother and having a father and having children, the parents and the family have to let you go also. You've renounced all of those relationships. You're just on your own between you and Bhagavan. That's what it is. And so you also are not even allowed to do the karmas that are done for the parents or when a parent dies. Swamiji would go sit in to watch those karmas being done for his mother and for his father that were done year after year. Because you no longer can do it. And you don't really think of your family members, your brothers and sisters, they're not anything any more special than anybody else. You know, they're treated like everybody else. In fact, for Swamiji, because of his bigness, all of his brothers were all devotees. Yeah. And they were very careful also not to claim my brother in terms of the amount of time they spent with him or so they had any special rights. They're very careful about that. Because he's a sannyasi, that means that asanga atma is there and that love or relationship is with all beings, is Ishwara. So these things are there. So the sattva karma sannyasa is the jnanam, the atma jnanam, the self-knowledge that I gain. The sannyasa, taking the orange, and also the karma yoga, living the karma yoga lifestyle, is what facilitates my knowledge, you know? And for the vidvat sannyasi, it just allows me, the society, to say, okay, you can live as a sannyasi, just be with yourself, it's fine. We'll leave you alone. All you need to do is be with yourself and teach us, you know? You can be with yourself, you can study, you can teach. We have no other requirements of you. In fact, we'll take care of you. You know, all you put your kamandalu there, your kamandalu, you know, and put a little begging bowl, and we'll make sure that you're okay. You know, you have no responsibility other than just to be with yourself. That's amazing ritual. And this is changing now because of the overpopulation and things, but they even had areas, the Himalayas. You could just go and squat as a sannyasi, like in Rishikesh, even in Hardwar and on up. You could go, you've taken the orange, you go up to the Himalayas and you find a place and you just build a little ashram there, you know, wherever you sit. As long as somebody else hasn't claimed it, that's it. No rent, no property taxes, nothing. It's just yours. Imagine. I mean, I think that we used to talk about it like in India, like what if one of the states in the United States were for the sannyasis? You just go and sit there. That's your, you just mark it out, a little place that you need, you know, and sit there. It's yours. You don't have to worry. Nobody will bother you. They just allow you to be a sadhu. That was India. It's something very amazing. But think of these two nishtas, these committed lifestyles, they create the environment for your body, mind, sense organs, right, to gain this knowledge and to abide in this knowledge. Abide in this knowledge means if you're a vidvat sannyasi and you just want to live a simple life with no requirements on you, because in India there are a lot of requirements, familial requirements. The family themselves lets you be, you know. Or you can choose, because either the karma yogi or the sannyasi ends up gaining jnana nishtha, sarva karma sannyasa. Your karma might be such, the prarabdha karma might be such, that you stay in your life, but you stay in your life as a jnani. The sarva karma sannyasa is exactly the same, but your prarabdha or the conditions that are there, you know, you end up just being in your life as a sannyasi. Not wearing the orange, it's called guna sannyasa. As a sannyasi, you're just there living your life, doing what needs to be done, within the situation that you find yourself in. A sannyasi who is living in the forest or wherever also is doing what needs to be done, what's expected of them. What's expected of them is going to be different because they're wearing orange, and that orange is respected, but they still stay. Wherever their life is, they stay there, being with themselves, doing what is expected to be done. So it's important to understand that. So now Krishna is explaining. He says, na karmanam anarambhat naishkarmyam purushoshnute. He says, purushaha na ashnute naishkarmyam. Any person doesn't gain, na ashnute. He doesn't gain naishkarmyam, the state of being free from karma. Nishkarma, naishkarmyam is an abstract, so naishkarmya. A person, na ashnute, doesn't gain the state of naishkarmyam, being actionless, free from karma. How? From anarambhat karmanam, from not doing any karma. Yeah. Say, okay, I'm going to become naishkarmyam. I'm going to become free from karma. I'm going to become a sarva karma sannyasi, somebody who's free from karma. How? I'm going to stop doing karma. So you're going to think you're going to stop doing karma. For you, it probably means, okay, I'm going to stop living, doing all of my responsibilities. I'm just going to give up doing any karmas. I'm going to give up doing any of my Vedic rituals or anything that's enjoined on me. I'm giving it all up so that I can become naishkarmyam. Naishkarmyam is much more than giving up a few rituals and a few responsibilities. So sarva karma sannyasa means I am free of karma. For me, karma doesn't exist. For me, there is not only nothing to be done, there is no activity or change of any kind. I am absolutely free of all karma. I am free of all motion. I am free of change. So sarva karma sannyasa is the one who's recognized themselves as free of karma. There is no naishkarmyam within the creation. There's always, you give up doing, Swamiji will kind of joke sometimes. You think you can give up all of the duties and all of your dharma, you know, and all of your responsibilities, but those actions and that time that you spent doing all of those things will now be spent doing something else. Yeah. And that's going to be a problem. You're giving up all of your responsibilities and all of your duties and everything that's enjoined on you. Okay, so now you're naishkarmyam. But you're not naishkarmyam. You still have a body, you still have a mind, you still have a world, you still have to brush your teeth, you still have to take a bath, you know, you still have to get your food, you still have to eat, you still have to pass your time, you still have to pass the time. And that's nothing but more and more and more activity. So you cannot, he says, there's no way a person can't gain the state of being free from action by stopping karma. First of all, you can't stop karma. So let's do the next verse. Oh, next line, I'll do that first. And he says, and further, sannyasanat eva siddhim samadigacchati. And also, you can't attain siddhi, success. Become in terms of being a sarva karma sannyasi, of having atmajnanam, of having self-knowledge, of being enlightened. This siddhi, this success, na samadigacchati, means you can't gain that. So you can't gain that siddhi. What? How? From sannyasa alone. Say you take sannyasa. You know, I've taken sannyasa now. That's going to result in my success as a sarva karma sannyasi. This taking sannyasa itself will lead to atmajnanam. No, that won't work either. So sannyasa is not going to give you naishkarmyam, nor is stopping the karmas. Neither one. Neither way. You know, say you get out of the karmas, so that will help you stop doing karmas. Or you just take sannyasa. Now I've taken sannyasa. Sannyasa and sarva karma sannyasa, they both have the word sannyasa in it, right? So then I think If I take the sannyasa, that is sarvakarma sannyasa. I've given up all my ritual and I should be enlightened. No. These are only lifestyles. They're lifestyles that are meant to, or conducive to you gaining knowledge. So you have to choose which one is most conducive for you, for where you're at this particular time. That when you take that lifestyle and then living that lifestyle, you gain knowledge. As a mumukshu, you become a jignyasu, one who desires liberation, and then you expose yourself to this teaching so that you see, so that you understand, that you recognize yourself. Yourself is already here. You know, there's nothing you can do to gain it. You can't gain a self that's already here. Swamiji says often, you know, you say you ask me for a new head. Yeah, Swamiji, I want another head. I want a new head. This is his own joke. So, I want a new head. How can I give you a new head? You already have a head. Yeah. He said, how can I give you a self? How can I give you a self? You already have a self. There's nothing that we can do about that. Your self is already there. So then what's the problem? What's the problem is I don't know that. I don't know that. He said, yeah, that is exactly the problem. You don't know it. So then what do we have to do? We have to give you knowledge so that you can recognize what is already completely here. So whether you have a sannyasa lifestyle or whether you have the karma yoga lifestyle, whether you think that you can stop karmas, all of that is ajnana. That's not going to work. These lifestyles help you. Depending on who you are, they help you. But what frees you is the removal of the ignorance which has caused you to superimpose what you already are onto the world and then run after it. That's the problem. And so that problem can only be solved by knowledge, because there in fact is no problem. Just like there is no snake. But for you there's a snake. Say the person walking along, they see a snake instead of the rope. So they see the snake, all of the emotions they have, all of their reactions, the whole emotional life is around that snake, because that's what they're experiencing. There is no snake. The snake is a projection. How are we going to make them heal them from the snake, or heal them from the snake bite? Because the Swamiji will say they're walking along, that snake kind of brushed them. The rope snake brushed them, and so they think that they had a snake bite. So what can we do? You know, we have to show them the rope. If we say, "Hey, listen, that wasn't a snake, and that was only a rope," no. No, I saw it. I saw it and I felt it bite me. No, I promise you it was only a rope. I saw the snake. So what has to be done? Nothing's going to convince that person of that the snake they saw and the bite they felt is not a snake, and that they didn't get a snake bite, unless, you know, you take them back and show them the rope. When you show them the rope, they see the same three or four bends that the snake had, the same length, so they're exactly where they saw it. But now they see the snakeness just kind of fade off the rope, and they say, oh, there was a rope, it's a rope. And then all the problems caused by the snake go away. Right? That's how it is for us. All of the problems, mental problems, our subjective problems that were caused by that self-ignorance, go away once I recognize myself. The objective problems don't go away, because the objective problems belong to Bhagavan, you know? And so, but my subjective problems that cause so much pain for me in terms of how I'm responding to the world, and in terms of my own well-being and happiness, those go away. They drop off completely with these little, you know, inner child work type of things lagging. I call it emotional, Swamiji calls it emotional lag time. You have an emotional lag time, you gain knowledge, and there's still, your mind has some time, it needs to assimilate all of it. You know? So like that, I have to, like the snake is gone, but I had a huge shock, and there's adrenaline running through my whole body, I skinned my knee when I fell down on it. It takes a while for those things to heal. But they heal because what was caused the problem is not there anymore. And this is our situation. What is causing our problem goes away. It goes away because what was causing, how I was seeing the reality, what I was seeing was incorrect. Right? There's ajnana, there's self-ignorance involved, and that self-ignorance has removed all the projections that caused go away. And my mind comes back to its normal state. It becomes normal, you know. Somebody sometimes jokes, the jnani is the only normal person, you know. Because then that I'm not being ruled by this ajnana and this delusion. It's a delusion, really, you know. But the thing is, because everybody's running around with the same ajnana and the same delusion, it seems fine. It's just the way life is. But actually, I'm running around in a condition of pain, a condition of that is not normal for me at all. It doesn't feel normal when I'm writhing in agony or so distressed or distraught. That's not normal for me. All the things that you're trying to do when it's like that is to get rid of it. We try to get rid of the things that are not normal, not the things that are normal. So what is normal is just being myself. You know, being myself, which is Ishwara, actually. Being myself means the my nature, the fullness that I am. And here I'm kind of so interesting, lucky enough to have a body, being a jnani, and you have a body, and you're walking around through yourself. You're walking around through, but you're walking through Ishwara. You're walking through your greater self, right? This jiva is walking through your greater self. And you're not asking anything of your greater self, of Ishwara, because you are Ishwara, and the ananda, the wholeness which is Ishwara, is the wholeness which you are. You don't need anything. If you needed something, you would ask for it. Right? Oh, I need it. If I could just have this to be happy. That's samsara. That's a samsari. That's not the jnani. The jnani, as your mind matures, you know, into your knowledge, all these raga dveshas really on a deep level drop off, then the mind doesn't ask for these things. You know, it's like asking for the graham cracker giraffe instead of the graham cracker, you know, elephant. Graham cracker is graham cracker, you know. Why would I, that's when you're walking out into the well, when I'm just walking through the graham cracker. You know, you're walking for the elephant graham cracker, you're having to walk through the graham cracker to get to the elephant graham cracker. There's nothing but graham cracker there. You know, so it makes no sense at all. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to gain. You already are that. That's the thing. But it takes a while for your mind to own up all of that. So now, let's do this one more.
Nahi kaschit kshanamati.
Jatu tishtatya karmakrit.
Karyate
hyava shashkarma. Karyate hyava shashkarma. Sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. Sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi. Jatu tishtati. Akaramakrit. Karyate hya avashaha karma. Sarvaha prakritaihi. Sarvaha prakritijaihi gunaihi. Now he says, you know, when you're saying with the sarva karma sannyasa, there's only one thing that is completely free of karma or motion or change, and that is the atma. Everything else, by the very nature of the universe itself, maya, which is sattva, rajas, and tamas, it's just maya is comprised of sattva, rajas, and tamas. So here, what he says is, continuing on from the previous verse, where he says, you know, it's not by stopping doing karma that a person can gain naishkarmya, be free of action, and it's not through taking sannyasa that will also give you success in that. It says, Nahi kaschit, because, he is because, kaschit, no nakaschit, no one, kshanamapi jatu, even for a second. No, kshanam just means the smallest moment. No one, kshanamapi jatu is emphasis. Even for a moment, tishtati abides, stands there as a karmakrit, as someone who is free from karma. Not even for a moment, not even for 1 second, can somebody be free from karma. Karyate hi avashaha karma sarvaha prakritihi prakritijaihi gunaihi. So he says, because he here, he avashaha, everyone, sarva, everyone, karyate, is made to, it's causal, everyone is made to, by force, avashaha, avashaha, everybody is made to, by force, do karma, is made to do karma, is forced to do karma, prakriti jaihi gunahi, just by the three gunas themselves that are born of prakriti, that are born of maya. You can't ask, you'd have to ask maya to stop, you know? Because maya, the rajas, the maya, the sattva, rajas, and tamas, remember sattva is that property of maya, that one guna, strand of maya that allows for the, like the reflection or manifestation of consciousness. So your sense organs and mind in the sukshma sharira, subtle body, are made of sattva. But rajas, and that which allows for the reflection of the entire creation, for Ishvara, makes Ishvara one intelligent being, is the sattva that runs through the entire creation. So that's one strand of maya. The other second strand of maya is rajas. Rajas is the activity, action, activity principle, the energy that runs through your whole body, that allows the body to work, to breathe, to blink, to talk. Everything that you do, the motion itself is rajas. That's one of the three strands of maya. And rajas runs, it pervades the entire creation, and it pervades your body. So the entire creation itself is in continual motion, right? So that's rajas. And tamas is responsible for the namarupa, for the name and form. So these are, sattva, rajas, and tamas are the three strands of maya. It's called, maya is called prakriti. When we call maya prakriti, we're really focusing on like the material cause of maya. It's maya. What is maya made of? It's prakriti. So they can be used synonymously, in fact. And what is maya or prakriti made of? Sattva, rajas, and tamas. So everything within the creation is pervaded by rajas. You can't make anything stop, you know? Even if you go down to the atomic level and below that, there's just nothing but perpetual motion, you know? So where is there going to be any resting place where I can be free of karma or free from action? It's not possible. So he says, every person, whether it be a sannyasi, a mahatma, or a samsari, or any living being, or the whole creation itself, the entire creation itself, you know, everyone is actually forced to do, is made to do these karmas just by the very nature of maya, by the very nature of the prakriti, which is in the form of the three gunas. So by the gunas themselves, which are born of prakriti. So there is no way to stop doing karma. So don't think that sannyasa, when we say that taking sannyasa will free you of your karma, means it frees you of having to do the rituals and having to have responsibilities to any beings, in fact. You have no responsibility. And maybe you have a responsibility to your students, but you don't have familial responsibilities. You don't have responsibilities to the tradition, to the rituals that are enjoined on you, as you'll see later in chapter 3. You know, in this chapter that we're working on, so many things are enjoined. Those are karmas. You're freed of those karmas, but you're still full of karma. There's no possibility of becoming. You can give up these rituals, these specific karmas, but you can't be a sattva karma sannyasi. Jnanam, self-knowledge, is sattva karma sannyasa, where I am free of all karma. There's no one free of all karma. There's only one thing free of all karma, and that is myself, because myself is free of maya. I'm free of sattva, rajas, and tamas. I'm free of the whole maya. Maya is a different order of reality, and it's in this different order of reality that we call the universe, Ishvara, that all activity and all karma takes place. All of that is mithya. I'm its adhishtana. The self is a different order of reality. I'm not an object within maya. So I'm the adhishtana, free of time and space, in which there is no activity. There is no subject-object relationship. And so for me, I am free of karma. But I've always been free of karma. I always will be free of karma, because that's my nature. So now it's not about taking sannyasa, you know. It's not about stopping doing karmas. It's about knowing yourself, the self that you've always been. So, Om Tat Sat. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.